Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to my favorite place. Every single day, the studio, the safest radio studio in America, and joining with you every single day to talk about what we talk about. This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. I am Mark Walters. Of course, I will be filling your prescription for freedom for the next hour, the fastest hour in radio. And my guest is my mom's favorite. I can say that. And mine, one of my top three anyway. And that's Dave Workman. I can hear him chuckling in the background because the phone line just went live. Dave Workman, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm fine. And how's mom? Say hi to her for me.
She's probably listening down in Naples, Florida. Hi, Mom. That's from Dave. Dave, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Hey, I got to tell you something fun today. You know, you and I know each other pretty well. I went through your PR people today because I wanted to keep them happy, and I thought you'd get a kick out of that instead of just calling you at home and saying, hey, can you jump on the radio with me today? So thank you to your entire staff for making that happen. I really do appreciate it, Dave.
Well, I have a confession. They're not my PR people. They kind of belong to Alan Gottlieb, and I just happen to be the warm body at the other end of the phone.
Well, your picture, for whatever it is worth, is plastered all over my cheat sheet that I get about you coming on as a radio guest. And I love when I get those because it's just so much fun to have you on the air. Lots to talk with you about today, but I want to jump into something with you, and I don't mean to catch you off guard, but I kind of want to catch you off guard because I know you're up on these topics, and I want to hear what Dave Workman, who is a real journalist, not a fake news journalist, but a real journalist who is neck deep in these topics of the right to bear arms and concealed carry issues and open carry issues and constitutional carry issues. Dave, over the last couple of weeks, I've been asking questions, or I should say over the last week, I've been asking questions of my listeners and soliciting responses about a couple of cases that I've covered here that I'm sure I know you're familiar with. Let me start with this with you. And everybody I get on of your caliber, I want to ask this question of. You recall back a couple of months ago, there was a double murder suicide, two educators who were murdered by the sixth grade math teacher. Well, let me just set the stage for you, for the benefit of you. Down in Brandon, Florida, sixth grade teacher, female, divorced her husband. She began a relationship with another female who happened to be the vice principal at the same middle school she worked at. Her estranged husband was documented, had paperwork out against him restraining in the form of restraining orders, was known to local law enforcement as being violent, had been convicted in the past. These women had armed themselves, they were now living together, had armed themselves in anticipation of an eventual confrontation with him. Meanwhile, they were continuing to carry on their responsibilities at the school. She was continuing to, the ex-wife was continuing to teach sixth grade. Her girlfriend was continuing to act as the vice principal of that middle school. Fortunately, thank God, when the confrontation occurred, it occurred at their house. Both of them were killed, and so was the estranged husband. They were able to fight back with the firearms that they had procured in anticipation of an impending event such as this. And I'll say this, they had to know that he could have also gone to the school. This guy showed up ready for war, vest, extra ammunition, the entire nine yards. The incident did not occur at the school. It happened at home. Let's fast forward 2 months now to San Bernardino, where we have a somewhat similar incident where the left is now calling it, Dave, a school shooting, and it wasn't. It was simply a workplace shooting because it happened at a school. It was a domestic violence incident that occurred at her place of employment, which happened to be a school. The left is now characterizing it as a school shooting. Thankfully, and I say this, it's such a terrible way to put this, but because an eight-year-old was killed, thankfully, more were not harmed at the school. So that begs the following question, and I seem to be the only one asking this. Dave, should those teachers who have ongoing, active, documented cases of existent domestic violence be in those schools teaching our children when they know this is happening? Or should they be put on administrative leave until this can be cleared up so that these events do not occur at the school? What are your thoughts on something like that? It's a tough question, but I'm the only one asking it. What do you think about something like that?
Well, frankly, Mark, I have mixed opinions about that, and I'll elaborate here. First and foremost, because somebody has a restraining order against another person, really should not deprive them of their livelihood. That is to say that if I had a restraining order against someone, I shouldn't be out of here. I should be here doing my job. I mean, that's the way it is. Now, on the other hand, if you do know that you might be in danger, at least school security should be notified of that, and they should be on top of that sort of thing. Because, you know, frankly, you owe it to the security of the school or wherever you, your workplace happens to be.
Correct.
To notify if you've got building security, tell them if you your supervisor or your manager or even the president of the company or the principal of the school. In this case, the vice principal of the school obviously knew about the problem because she was part of the problem, or well, actually part of the team that was being targeted.
Correct.
So, here we have a dilemma where. Because you're a victim, you shouldn't be victimized again by being placed on administrative leave. And, of course, unions will play a role in this, too, because they will stick up for their employees and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, you can't take somebody away from their job because they've got a piece of paper out there, really, and essentially that's all it is, against so-and-so. Now, on the other hand, and the other end of this argument, they were not allowed to have firearms in school legally. None of these victims were. San Bernardino, you know, it's a gun-free zone where these two ladies worked, obviously gun-free zone. They should have been able to have the means, the tools to protect themselves and their students on campus if the bad guy showed up. We don't allow that in schools today, except in a very few rare exceptional cases where a school district may say, you know, guess what? Our staff is armed. You want to come on this campus to threaten the kids, expect to get shot. It's kind of an interesting approach to things, but it might be a great deterrent to violence. The fact that in San Bernardino, this guy came on campus, he was passed through the office because they knew who he was. They thought he was bringing something to his wife, and he walked down the hallway and shot her dead.
Right.
I think what these cases really demonstrate is there's no easy answer to this, and we can sit here and pontificate all day long, but it's not going to prevent a violent act from happening if the person who commits that act is determined to do it.
You know, the great points. And as I mentioned on the program over the course of the last few days, and as I wrote about in Ammo, in my piece about this in Ammo, then, and I got some great responses from listeners. I'll give you one. Probably going to run up against the break on that as we talk about this now. Maybe we can carry it into the next one. We still got a couple minutes. But as I made very, very clear, the incident that happened at the school in San Bernardino, Dave, as you well know, would have happened if she worked at a meatpacking facility. It would have happened if she worked at a shoe store in a mall. It made no difference. She was the intended target. He knew he could get into that school, as you just said. He was passed right in. They knew who he was. That just happened to be her place of employment. So You're right. There's no easy answer to this. There are two pieces of this equation, I think, that are important to look at. Again, hindsight, we're operating here under the benefit of that rear view mirror, high definition vision. And what I mean by that is, when I said documented ongoing cases, the problem I have with this is just like you do. These people have a right to privacy. And just because an order's been put out, and look, let's side with somebody who's got an order against them for that matter. You've got an ex parte, meaning a scorned spouse puts a restraining order out. Should that person who has the restraining order out be labeled? If it's not, and we're talking about due process here now. Everybody has a right to due process. In both of these cases, they were documented. There was records of violence. We know that now after the fact. Of course, we didn't know that at the time. So we're looking back at this in the rearview mirror. And sometimes that Monday morning quarterbacking isn't fair when we put ourselves in the position of these people on the spot and in their shoes at that moment in time. But looking back at this with children involved, I got some great emails. I'll tell you about one of them, about this being, these people being, having no right to privacy because they are paid by the taxpayers in a public school setting. We're getting ready to take a break. It's a fascinating topic. I don't hear anyone else answering it. I think the question needs to be asked in order to try to come up with some type of solution. We have to first be man enough to face the question before we can even move forward. I'm talking with Dave Workman, great journalist Dave Workman, over at Second Amendment Foundation, Liberty Park Press. You can Google his name and find out everything you want. He's with me for the remainder of the hour. Don't go away. It's going to be very powerful radio. We'll be back with Dave Workman right after this.
Folks, by now you know I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. And you also know they love to give away guns to responsibly armed Americans just like you. Now, this is why last month the USCCA bought 10 of my listeners a brand new Kimber. Now, this month, they want you to pick any gun you want. So they're giving you 10 chances to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams. Which gun is at the top of your bucket list? A brand new AR-15? A custom 1911? Think hard, because any gun you've been dreaming about could be yours. Thanks to my friends over at the USCCA. Just visit defendthem.com to enter for free today. And there's absolutely no restrictions. You can pick up any gun, any brand, and any caliber you want. Your entry to win $1,500 for a brand new gun is quick, simple, and free. Don't miss out on your best chance to take home the gun of your dreams. Just go to defendthem.com right now to get your name on the entry list. That's defendthem.com.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win 1 of 4 guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Intriguing questions today with very serious consequences. You're hearing a spontaneous conversation between myself and Dave Workman about what I believe is a very serious issue. And as I can tell, so far, I'm the only one asking these questions, and I believe they are legitimate questions. Dave Workman, welcome back. I just want to kind of close out with this. You know, sometimes the best radio is a radio you don't get to hear, and that's the conversation during the breaks as I'm talking with my board operator and producer, who in this case, Greg, is filling in for Shanto, who had a medical procedure done on his hand. So, Greg, thank you again for being here and making the show possible for listeners around the country. I do appreciate it very much, and so do they. Dave, part of the conversation we had during the break was, you know, we always hear from the left, you know, the Every Town for Gun Safeties and these clowns and Bloomberg and the Moms Demand Action. You know, I'm curious, when all they say is if it saves one child, then it will have been worth it, ignoring the fact that in a free country, in a free society, we do not take away the freedoms of millions of hundreds of millions of Americans because of the actions of one kook. But I'm curious, why do you think we're not hearing from the left, if it saves one child, to put these people on administrative paid leave now? Because that's where your union question comes in. It's 100% legitimate. The union would never stand by and suggest. And then, of course, we could go down the rabbit hole of, I don't like public sector unions anyway, but the reality is we have them. And the other reality is these teachers are kept defenseless and helpless in these schools when they are under these threats. And I'm just curious, why do you think the left isn't going after that angle to save the child, as we hear from every other angle that they push forward?
Well, I suppose, and let's not get too far out in the weeds here. On the one hand, you have had a situation, you know, which involved two ladies who were evidently gay. That's a toxic landmine, swamp infested place for the left to go. And on the other hand,
well, you are right about that.
The perpetrator in San Bernardino and the victim were both African American, and in both cases, I think what you're dealing with is a gun-free zone where precautions have already been taken. The left really doesn't have a lot of traction here. The San Bernardino shooting did not involve a so-called assault weapon, didn't even involve a semi-automatic firearm. The guy...
It was a revolver. It was a revolver.
Used a revolver. And what that demonstrated, and I've actually written about this, and I will continue to write about it for probably several more days, if not weeks. The situation in San Bernardino demonstrated that high-capacity magazines and assault weapons and all of these things that the left complains about are smoke screens. They're deflections. They're designed to keep the attention away from the real problem in California and elsewhere, and that problem is that gun control laws have been an abject failure at their stated mission of reducing or eliminating or preventing crime. And I think we see this with mall shootings, with attacks in public places. When they find out who the perpetrators are, these guys have passed background checks. There have been instances where they've passed multiple background checks. In fact, remember Elliot Rodger, the guy that killed six people down in Santa Barbara, California, it was about 3 years ago. He murdered three of those people with a knife. He stabbed him to death before he shot the three others. He used handguns that he had gone through background checks in California. Mm-hmm. And he used California-compliant 10-round magazines in those shootings. The anti-gun crowd, I call them the gun prohibition lobby. In fact, I think I'm the one that coined that term. There's not a lot of real estate there for them to grasp. They can claim whatever they want to, but I think at the end of the day, they have to admit that the gun laws that they pushed through, the gun laws they insisted upon, the ones that they sold us a bill of goods, have been failures. They didn't stop any of these cases.
You know, you're not too far out in the weeds. In fact, you're right smack in the middle of the highway. You're staying between the ditches here, and I love that. Here's why. Because what you've just informed listeners around the country is that their own narrative, they can't even expose their own narrative without exposing their own hypocrisy here. And you nailed it with the revolver. Look, we're talking about California, Dave. As you well know, you write about it. You've been writing about it. They can't point to anything in California that worked to save this poor woman's life in that school. And again, it happened at a school because that's where she worked. If she worked at the meatpacking plant, it would have happened there. Or on the way there, it would have happened anywhere. It just that's where he knew he could go. All right? So nothing that they purport to stop activity like this works. In fact, as you said, it's been an abject failure. And trying to point that out just simply proves their own hypocrisy. I think they just decide to just move on down the road because they're based on bullet points and talking points, and that's about it. But that kind of begs the question then. Why would Gabby Gifford step up and say what happened in San Bernardino school shooting, for example, proves that we need more gun control when what you just said and what we're discussing now proves to any thinking, intellectually honest individual that it's all been a failure? Is there another law, and that's a rhetorical question, that would have stopped it? Of course not. But she,
well,
she
frankly,
for more.
I think you and I both know that in Gabby Giffords' case, I'm going to cut her a little bit of slack. She got shot in the head by a Looney Tune who shouldn't have been on the street in the first place because of his prior problems. However, since he hadn't been prosecuted by any, he had a perfectly clean record. He passed a background check, and he shot her. However, she's turned this into a instead of a personal tragedy, she's turned this into an attack on everybody's civil rights. And honestly, the reason I think she brings this up is to give more traction to her gun control movement. It's a fundraiser.
Yeah, now what you're talking about is pushing the agenda. Again, right smack on the money, right on the money. In between the ditches, you're running right down the center of the road where I knew you'd go. This is, again, this just proves the agenda aspect of that gun prohibitionist crowd. We're getting ready to take a break, and I really appreciate you engaging me in this conversation. I appreciate it, and I know my listeners appreciate hearing your perspective on this. I've been discussing this for about a week, and these are questions that need to be asked. I will be giving you my answer. I've been pondering this for the past couple of weeks, as you know, if you listen to the show regularly. And on Sunday on the Monster Broadcast, I will be giving you my thoughts and my opinion and answers to the questions I've been asking of some of the most amazing people in the country who have your back and fight for your rights. I'll tell you what I think about it on Sunday, so make sure not to miss it. When we come back, we're going to move to Chicago. I want to talk with Dave about Chicago. Just another horrendous, horrendous situation. We'll be back right after this.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show, you know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Hi, welcome back to the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studios. Man, oh man. What a day. Boy. Been a busy one so far today. Dave Workman, welcome to the program. Always a pleasure to have you here. Let's switch gears to Chirac, shall we? The carnage, and that's what it is. I don't know of any other way to describe this. I have talked about this for years, and as much as I hate to categorize it this way, Dave Workman, it's a scorecard at this stage of the game. Now, where do I get my information? I'm on with Kurt Schilling every Tuesday on Breitbart News, Whatever It Takes, with great Major League Baseball legend Kurt Schilling. He'll be a guest on my program this coming Sunday. We'll be talking about this as well, Dave. We discuss Chicago almost every week because we'd be remiss if we didn't. A 170, and I get my information from the Chicago Tribune. There are other sites that you can go and get the information, but I go right to the horse's mouth here. I go right to the Chicago Tribune. As of right now, Dave, as you and I speak, 170 homicides. That number's going to be higher by the time we get off the air. 786 since January through December of 2016, that's last year, 170 today, 170 through the, we're not even at the end of April, we're halfway through April. I'm almost speechless, Dave, and I talk for a living. This just blows my mind when I have to discuss this every week. What gives, and what does Dave Workman suggest we do here to stop this carnage?
Yeah. There have been times when I have flippantly told people that what they really need to do is send in a company of Texas Rangers to clean that place up. But
not a bad suggestion. It's not a bad suggestion.
I think that if you look at the situation in Chicago, they're on the track to meet or beat last year's body count. I wrote about it, I think, on Monday when they were just one body behind the same date last year. I'm sure that they're going to catch up maybe by the time we get off the air. Maybe they've already surpassed it. In Chicago, it's not about guns so much as it's about gangs and warring gang turf. I made the remark the other day in print that at least in Al Capone's days, the gangs just kept their mayhem pretty much to each other. But now, these gangs that are running around almost in an anarchy situation, they don't care who they shoot. And to me, that suggests that they are absolutely removed from any kind of moral guidelines at all. And when you remove the moral guidelines, you're not talking about people, you're talking about animals. And it doesn't matter what color they are. I don't care. When people set out to kill each other with that kind of abandonment of any moral decency, color means nothing to me, because they're all like that. We know that the gang problem in Chicago is not just limited to Chicago. There are gang problems in other big cities. In Chicago, they seem to be turning it into an art form by killing so many of each other, and so many innocent people getting caught in the crossfire too. My God, there was a guy who a judge who got shot in front of his house last week by some would-be robber, I guess. And when you've got that kind of an environment, I'm not sure that the police can handle it. We certainly don't want to send in the troops because, we've got posse comitatus laws and all that. But there are things right now going on that Chicago is out of control. The city fathers have lost that control. I think the city police department, because all the federal attention they're getting because they happen to shoot some people here over the last couple of years, and there were some civil rights complaints. Their hands are essentially tied, and there's no quick, easy answer to Chicago either, except that hopefully, if they keep shooting each other, pretty soon we're going to run out of gang members. They'll just get rid of each other. But that's not an answer either.
That's not, and I feel you on this one. I've wrestled with this one also. This has been a topic of conversation on Armed American Radio for years now. This is something that has been ongoing for years, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel in Chicago, as far as I can see yet. I don't sense it yet. That doesn't mean it might not be there. Maybe somebody's working on something magic behind the scenes that I'm not privy to, but I don't see the light at the end of that tunnel. Let me clarify some numbers here, too. I think I just realized I made a mistake when I gave the numbers out yesterday. The body count, if you will, in Chicago is 170 year-to-date. That's from the Chicago Tribune right now. Now, that number will update at midnight tonight. It's going to be higher. It'll be over 180, no doubt. 786 last year. Let me give you some numbers for this year. I said yesterday that it was 786 shootings, 170 on 786 shootings. That is not true. The shooting victims this year, 170 dead, 935 shooting victims. That's compared to last year's total count of shooting victims, not homicides, but shooting victims, of 4,368. Now, I want you to hear that number. That's just incredible, Dave. 4,368. Think of the last venue you went to and you were part of a crowd of near 5,000 people. And put that in perspective. Now, let's get provocative here. There's a racial component here, too, isn't there? This is the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and this is, I guess, the sad part about this. We've got African Americans shooting African Americans, and we've got a movement out there called Black Lives Matter, and yet I haven't seen a big march through Southside Chicago of Black Lives Matter say, "Hey, look, you know, we're killing our own people here. We're killing our own friends and neighbors and children, and we killed a judge. He was an African American fellow, and it makes no sense at all to me. If you're going to complain about black people being shot, and we all have a right to complain about that because that's horrible, but we got to concentrate on who the shooters are. Now, if it's gang guys killing the other gang guys, you know, I'm not too sure the community is that much worse off. But when we're talking about people getting shot because maybe they had the wrong color cap on or they were wearing the wrong jacket that just looked like somebody might be in a gang, that's just insane. And as I said before, you know, there's no easy way to address this, and it's almost politically incorrect to be talking about the black-on-black crime, but that's the reality of this. And it's not a cheap shot at the African-American community. I know a lot of people who are simply appalled about this, who are people of color. They are good, decent people. They're family people. They worry about, their families. They worry about their neighbors. But there's an element out there, a criminal element. And again, I don't care what color we're talking about. The criminal element of today, no matter who they are, they don't seem to care at all about any kind of moral compass in this. They'll kill you just for being there, and that goes across all the racial lines. If I had the answer to this, I'd be the smartest guy in the room,
and probably the wealthiest guy in the room too, I might add. And I'd be a hanger on you because I'd be wanting to hang around with you. I've been searching for this. We can talk about this till we're blue in the face, quite frankly. But that's all we can do. And that's a good thing. We need to be talking about this. And we need to be talking about the racial component of this because the mainstream press isn't. And it's not just Black Lives Matter, Dave, that's not in Chicago. It's not the Everytowns and the Bradys and the Bloombergs either. None of them are. We'll be back with Dave Workman after this.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away. Which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The Six Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, The media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You too can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
All right. Sitting here in the Armed American Radio USCCA Daily Defense Studios with you today. I told you it was the fastest hour in radio. Dave Workman brings it as he always does. I'm going to go right back to Dave, but first I want to let you know what we've got coming up tomorrow. Kat Mortensen from the National Rifle Association is going to be here. You know, the big meeting coming up. The National Rifle Association annual convention is being held right down the road from these USCCA Armed American Radio studios. So we've got Kat coming in to tell us all about that great stuff that's happening down there. I'll be there also. And the Gun A Day giveaway today is a Kunin 357 Magnum Compact valued at 1,725 clams. USCCAonair.com. If you even think you might consider becoming a concealed carry permit holder, I want you to think about what the USCCA offers. Now, what I'm talking about here, you hear me say it every day, but I'm going to drive you to it. If you were listening to Sunday's broadcast and you heard Andrew Branca, the law of self-defense, you understand the importance of having this level of self-defense shield protection. I have platinum. I wouldn't go outside my house without it. It's as simple as that. I've pulled a firearm on two individuals many years ago, and thank God I didn't have to pull the trigger. I didn't have this insurance at the time. Now I do, and so does my wife, and so should you. And it's all right there for you at usccaonair.com. All you have to do is activate one of three levels of self-defense shield protection: silver, gold, or platinum, up to 1.125 million. God forbid you have to use your firearm in a defensive situation to save your life or the life of a loved one, and an overzealous prosecutor come after you, you will be covered. Instantly, you will go home where you belong, you will be saved from financial ruin, and your protections will be covered by the United States Concealed Carry Association Self-Defense Shield Protection. I wouldn't leave my home without it, and I really need you to consider this. Now, I've asked for emails from those of you who have the coverage, who heard it here on the program. I've gotten some great emails from you. Thank you. And I'll continue to read more of those as they come in. But if you have the protection and you want to tell me about it, Mark at USCCA.com. Or make it easier, Mark at armedamericanradio.org. Mark at armedamericanradio.org. That's the address I want you to use for that, okay? Very, very important. I want to hear from you. about this. Mark@armedamericanradio.org. The other email won't work. Mark@armedamericanradio.org. If you activate your protection today, you win. If you don't win the gun today, you are in the running for one of three chances to win the ultimate home self-defense arsenal. But here's the big picture. Whether you win it or not, you've already won because you're protected the moment you step outside your house. All right? How much is peace of mind worth to you? That's the question you need to ask yourself. I know how much it's worth to me. It's worth every penny I pay for that coverage. And it should be to you too. USCCAonAir.com. Shoot me an email if you bought the protection. I want to hear from you. I got another great email today. I'll be reading them over the weekend. Mark@armedamericanradio.org. Mark@armedamericanradio.org. Okay, Dave Workman, back to some discussions with you. Bloomberg, he's at it again. $25 million war chest he's throwing at Everytown for gun safety. At the state level, he's coming at us. We've talked about it. The two of us have talked about it on this show over the last couple of years. We knew this was going to happen.
What the situation there is, Bloomberg reportedly has decided that he will spend up to $25 million, which is chump change for him, in order to prevent passage of a National Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act. And, of course, he doesn't care because he has his own armed private security. But for the rest of us, whether we live in Chicago or whether we just travel to different states on vacation, you know, that's an important deal. The right of self-defense does not stop at your state line. The right to keep and bear arms does not stop at the state line. Bloomberg, and I've written this, he seems to think that because he's so wealthy, he can buy the Constitution, or at least the Second Amendment. And he's wrong. I hope he does spend the $25 million, and I hope he loses every penny of it. Hopefully Congress is now in the hands of people who understand common sense that your civil rights cross state lines, and we've got a president, I think, now who will gladly sign that legislation if it hits his desk. But we've got to wait and see how all of this shakes out.
You know, I'm with you on this, as you know. Here's a question that never seems to come up. And again, I don't know why people aren't asking this question or at least making this point, so I'll do it because I get paid to do it. And that's this. We already have reciprocity. I've got reciprocity with two permits right now that cover me in virtually 40 states around the country. So what's he fighting?
Yeah, me too.
You know, listen, Georgia and Virginia just cemented and inked their national reciprocal agreements today. Mm-hmm. It's effective today. VCGL just put the memo out while I'm live on the air with you. We just finalized that deal, signed the bill in Georgia, and it was effective immediately. So we already have reciprocal agreements. All this does is streamline it. Isn't he already wasting his money based on that fact alone?
Well, I think you have to understand the anti-gun mindset.
Oh, if you can figure that out, let me know, please.
Well, it's about half a bubble off plum. And once you tell yourself that, yeah, that's really where these guys are at, then you can sort of figure this one out. But he is just absolutely viscerally opposed to a national law that would require recognition of all state carry licenses or permits in all the other states. And frankly, that comes right back to New York and New York City especially. And I think people ought to have the right, if they're from Washington or from Virginia or Tennessee, I don't care where they come from, if they're going to visit New York City and they want to bring a firearm along for their personal protection, they ought to be able to do that. And that's something that the people in the Big Apple are going to have to choke down, because civil rights do not have state line boundaries. You know, you have a civil right in Nevada. You've got the same civil right in Texas or in Louisiana or up in Illinois. And for Bloomberg or any of his minions over at Everytown for Gun Confiscation, to think different. real estate.
Well, I would love to ask Bloomberg this, and again, nobody asked this question, but I'm assuming then that Bloomberg must know that all 50 states have some form of carry in place. Now, there are a handful, of course, that don't give their state residents recognize their rights to give them their permits. But for the most part, I guess Bloomberg's okay with the 2.2 million concealed carry permit holders that are allowed to carry in Florida, or the 1.3 million that carry in Georgia. He just doesn't want to move in from state to state, but it's okay if they move within their own state. You see, the dynamic here exposes their agenda, particularly when he tells us this while he's standing on phone books to reach the microphone and he's surrounded by a bunch of guns. You've got exactly 1 minute, and I'll let you take it away and then tell people where to go find out everything they can about you. Go for it.
Well, okay, frankly, first and foremost, Mark, forget about ever asking Bloomberg a question. You ain't going to get that opportunity. I've tried and failed, but you can find my byline at Liberty Park Press. I write for the conservative firing line. I'm the senior editor at thegunmag.com, and I write for, several different magazines. You'll see my byline. I do firearms reviews, too. So I actually get on the fun side of this business also. I get to pop a few caps now and then. But it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And hi, Mom, again. I hope you enjoyed it.
Dave Workman, thank you so much for everything that you do and that you've been doing for decades on behalf of all of us. I had a little blurb about it, if you want to read it, about Dave's appearance on the program today over at armedamericanradio.com, the great Dave Workman, Liberty Park Press. Just Google his name. You'll find him everywhere. Dave, thanks again for being here. I do appreciate it. So do my listeners. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. And tune in tomorrow to listen to Kat Mortensen from the National Rifle Association. See you tomorrow on the radio.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.